your program host, Yimei Chen. Happiness at Work is the title of the program. It is to inspire you to stay connected with yourself, fire your passion, and raise your wellness in work and life in general. Our mission is to empower you to find your own truth, live your life as creatively as possible. Truth is one, yet paths are many. We invite you to find your own answers and take on your own path. Ellen Seo is a transformational leadership coach. I learned from him in a 7-month teleclasses on this topic. He follows his passion and intuition by asking the question, what wants to happen in his personal journey? It is organic, fulfilling, and meaningful. We will talk about what transformation means and what it takes to be a transformational leader.
Hi, Ellen. Thank you for being with me. I enjoy your class, Transformational Presence Coaching, a lot, and also started to read 3 of your books. And would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Alan Seal, and thank you so much for this opportunity to speak with you. I'm a leadership and transformation coach and the founder and director of the Center for Transformational Presence, which is actually a virtual organization focused on how we show up in the world and how we create a personal presence, live into a personal presence that is in itself transformational, that we are creating a space in which transformation can occur, understanding the optimal conditions to allow transformation to occur in order ultimately to be creating a world that works. That's actually the name of my newest book that's just coming out right now. Create a world that works. What I mean by a world that works is a world that is in service of everyone, where everyone wins. We're serving a greater good, which means every person is getting at least to some degree what they need. And we're creating a world that is somewhat more equitable, a world that's about relationship and understanding that, you know, the quantum physicists tell us that all of creation is really built on relationship. And so it's important for us to be looking at the world in that kind of way. What kind of relationship are we having, not just to one another, but to ideas, to thoughts, to projects, to life? What is our relationship with life? And so my work is all about helping us understand that relationship, helping us understand how we show up in the world, helping us understand who we are at our essence and what our purpose is, soul mission is. That's one of my books. It's called Soul Mission, Life Vision. My work is about helping us understand that the intuitive mind is much larger than is the larger mind. The intellect is just one small part of the much larger intuitive mind. So the more we can operate from the intuitive mind and learn to trust it, and learn how the intuitive mind works, the more effective we will be in moving forward in the world to create a world that works. So I work with individual clients as well as some organizations. My clients now come from 5 different continents, and they're all people who are committed to making a significant difference in the world in one way or another. So I have those individual coaching clients, and some work with organizations to help them learn to begin to think differently and to show up in the world in a different way, to have a different perspective on really understanding how life works as energy in motion. That's another big part of what my work is about. And then through the Center for Transformational Presence, we offer this coach training program, Transformational Presence Coach Training, which is really helping the coach understand life as energy in motion, and also helping the coach step into their own transformational presence and understand how that works Very, very well. So that then they in turn can help their clients do the same thing. And in turn, their clients will help the people that they serve do the same thing. So it's sort of a ripple approach, you know, that as the pebble drops into the pond, then the ripples go out. And the more we stand in transformational presence ourselves, the more that ripples out through our worlds.
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting concepts and approach that you just mentioned. So probably we can explore one by one. First, my question is, what do you mean by transformation?
Literally, well, first, let's just say that transformation is one of those words that's now being used everywhere. It's showing up in business and society in all different kinds of ways. And when that starts to happen, that is usually a message to me that we aren't defining whatever that word is clearly enough. So if we come back to what does transformation really mean, it is literally a shift in vibrational frequency. If we come to it from a quantum physics terms, it means that we have are being fundamentally sourced from a different frequency, a different vibration. And so when I speak of transformation, it is actually about helping people make that shift within themselves, a significant shift in perspective, a shift in how they're showing up in the world, a shift in their thoughts and their ideas and their beliefs and their paradigms in such a way that they realize I can't ever go back to where I was before. This shift is a permanent shift until it then shifts again on into the next level of growth and transformation. So that transformation is really about a shift in vibrational frequency, a shift in who we are. Transformation is something that happens on the inside. Change happens on the outside. In order for change to be lasting, sustainable, there has to be transformation on the inside. Otherwise, we will go back to however we were before. When nothing has changed on the inside, we will revert back to the old patterns, whether that's in an organization or whether that's for us individually.
Exactly, yeah. Not until we look into our in world, then the world actually is not going to be the same. And because this program is talking about leadership development, so how would you define transformational leader?
Well, a transformational leader is one who is constantly holding the space for transformation to happen. And what do I mean by holding the space? I mean that is they're living in an intention that important things are going to happen around them. It's not about making things happen. It's not about forcing or manipulating a change, but rather creating the optimal conditions through which transformation can happen. Transformational leadership understands that the real work is done on the inside, or, you know, in the coach training program, we speak about operating in the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical aspect of our lives is the being part, and the horizontal is the doing part or the action. Our world is very conditioned, especially in the Western traditions, to function in the horizontal. Just get it done, get it done, get it done. So it's all about action and doing. And we miss out on the being part. The being part is really where the inspiration is, where the creativity comes, the intuition is. It's where the brilliance is. It's where the wisdom is. And so the transformational leader really understands that we have to nurture the vertical and bring tremendous alignment into the vertical so that the horizontal can reach, or we can reach our greatest success and potential in the horizontal. Transformational leadership really focuses on who we are before we get to what we do.
And based upon your experiences with organizations and leaders, what it takes to be a transformational leader?
It takes a really clear knowing, first of all, of who you are. Knowing yourself. And when I say that, I mean not just knowing yourself as in what you can do well, but knowing yourself in terms of how you think, how you function inside, what your values are, what's important to you, who you're called to be in the world, what your purpose is here in the world. And by purpose, I don't mean to be a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a parent, but rather the purpose is the energy that's driving all of that. For instance, my soul mission, my life purpose is I liberate and empower. And it's understanding what is that energy that you live in all the time that drives your life, that is the passion and the fuel for your life. So to be a transformational leader, you've got to be very clear about who you are and why you're here and what is the difference that you're called to make in the world. And then be sure that you are the person who would make that difference. That's a start for what transformational, how to be a transformational leader. There, it goes, you know, continues on and on in terms of being so aware of how you were functioning in the world, how you're showing up in the world. And there are many, many layers of that, but that's certainly a good start.
Yep. And in an organizational, in a team, actually that also involved with much more factors and also people, for example, the organizational values and cultures and different team members. So how would you describe the process of the whole transformation to take place?
Well, that really all depends on what the transformation is that's wanting to take place, I suppose. Maybe the more general way to answer that question is that it's about understanding leadership as an art. It's not just the things that you do. It's not just a science or a formula, but there's a real art to it. So there's a craft, there's knowledge, there's wisdom and understanding. It certainly is knowing whatever your field is very well, a deep body of knowledge there, but also a deep body of knowledge and understanding about how life works as energy in motion, really understanding. We study in the coach training program, the ancient hermetic principles. Those principles are the teachings of the ancient wisdom traditions on which all of the religions of the world are based. Each religion of the world has interpreted those seven principles in different ways. And quantum physics is now showing us the science behind those principles. So to me, transformational leadership is a real understanding of wisdom and knowledge on so many different levels, both on the practical levels of whatever the particular field is that you're working in or the arena that you're working in, as well as that knowledge of how life works as energy in motion. So it's bringing all that together and recognizing that transformation is an art and it's a flow. Transformation is not something that just, oh, we do it and then it's done, we've accomplished it, it's finished. Transformation is an ongoing thing. It's a flow of energy. It is a way of being in the world. It's not something that you do. It's a person that you are.
Are there any particular type of organizations with different cultures, values, visions, which can nourish more of such leaders?
Well, I think that this is something we're beginning to grow into. It's just organizations who are paying attention to the vertical. They'll use whatever language they use for that. But coming back to that fundamental idea of what is the vertical and how do we pay attention there, how do we learn to live in the intersection between the vertical and the horizontal as opposed to keeping them separate? We live in a world, again, the Western world, so much that is about separating spirituality from work, separating spirituality from the secular world even. We separate who we are from what we do. We keep separating the vertical and the horizontal and making them two different things and that do not meet. But by doing that, we lose the gift that each of them has to bring. The vertical and the horizontal must be partners. The soul and the ego must be partners. The full aspect of our being must be engaged in order to bring the most of who we are to the table, in order to share our gifts in the greatest way, and in order to accomplish living our greatest potential in order for an organization to reach its greatest potential. We've got to call forth the wholeness of the people who are there. So there are more organizations who are beginning to understand this. There's a wonderful book called Firms of Endearment that I recommend to all of my leadership clients, because it profiles, I think, maybe 33 companies in the world who are really operating from what they call a stakeholder relationship model as opposed to shareholder relationship model. In a shareholder model, everything ultimately comes down to that bottom line, and are the shareholders making enough money? But in a stakeholder relationship model, it's based on the fact that everyone must win, whether that is the employees of the company, the leadership, the clients, the shareholders, the vendors, every single person who is touched in any kind of way by this organization or business, they must win from this. It must benefit them. And so it's a shift that's beginning to happen in the world. And that book, Firms of Endearment, helps us to see how that's starting to happen in certain organizations. And I also found that that book gave us language, or starts to give us language, for how to talk about some of these things in the business environment.
Wow, sounds really a big paradigm shift.
Yes, yes, it is. And it's a paradigm shift that is not just to me. It's not just, oh, it would be nice if that happens. It's really essential in order for us to, in order for us to create a world and certainly business and government going forward that is sustainable. In order for us to create a society that is sustainable, we must make this paradigm shift and realize that sustainable society, sustainable business, sustainable government is built on relationship, and it's built on who we are in the vertical. Therefore, what do we do in the horizontal?
The transformational type of languages really speaks to me, and it's really a very important direction for me to explore as well. And earlier that you talk about energy and vibration and frequency. Would you please tell us more about it and how in the daily life that we start to notice it, and what's the importance of this?
You know, we notice it just by being aware of how we feel, because the vibrational frequency of our being is reflected in our feelings. Are we excited about something? Are we happy? Are we feeling at peace inside? Are we feeling contented? Or are we feeling conflicted inside, or disturbed, or anxious, or nervous, or a lack of confidence, or you know, whatever? We notice that shift in terms of how we feel. And we've all experienced those moments when something happens and we recognize we feel completely different about what's happening around us. You know, it's that in quantum physics, they call it a quantum shift or a quantum leap, which is literally means that a molecule or a particle has jumped from one orbit to another instantaneously. There's no time lag, and there's also no path, no sign of how it did it. It just did. And we've all experienced those things when suddenly we have a shift in perception or a shift in understanding. And our whole system, if we pay attention, our whole system feels different. So that's how we recognize it. That's how we know what's going on. And again, it's why coaching, the transformational coaching, can be so powerful when we ask that simple question, whatever the question is in the moment, that turns everything around for the client. A big piece of how to facilitate this is that it's about keeping the client, keeping ourselves all the time in discovery, and recognizing that life is really about discovery. And as we discover, then we understand something more fully, then we act based on that discovery and understanding. So the feeling, the vibrational frequency shifts every time we make a discovery. Something transforms inside of us, and we move into yet a different frequency. Does this help answer your question?
Yeah. So does that mean that we need to pay more attention to what we feel?
We need to be incredibly in tune with what we feel, and to give ourselves permission to feel things, and to feel both things that are comfortable and that are uncomfortable. If we can also to do transformational work is also about recognizing that feelings are, in the end, just information. And the more we can understand feelings as information, that everything that we feel has a message for us. That feeling has a message for us. Whether that message is, this is fantastic, you're loving this, this is really good for you, keep doing this. Or whether the message is, something's not quite right here. We need to go a little deeper. We need to ask another question. Or this may not be the right choice for you to make. Everything that we feel has some information with it. And so the more we can allow ourselves to feel whatever we feel, welcome those feelings as information, and then be gentle and compassionate and curious with those feelings. Every time we feel something, pay attention, ask it, you know, what does it mean? Go a little deeper with it. The fact that you're incredibly happy about something, well, ask, so what is it about this that makes me happy? Now I start to understand me on a deeper level, because I'm not just recognizing, oh, wow, I'm happy, I love this. What is it about this that makes me love it? Why am I happy right now? Or when I recognize that I'm uncomfortable or I'm afraid, well, what is it about this that makes me afraid? It's to go deeper inside of ourselves and our awareness and our understanding. The more we ask questions, and then when we get an answer, ask another question from that answer, and we get another answer, and then ask another question. Just the more we can be in open curiosity with no judgment of whatever's coming up, it's just information, then that really opens the door for transformational space in a huge way.
Exactly. That reminds me, in the old days when I work in the companies, feeling like you put on mask going to the office, you know, and then you get so tired coming back, and then another day starts. Sort of probably a little bit kind of protection or dealing with things in an authentic way.
And you see, when you do that, in effect, you are shutting off the vertical of your being and just stepping into the horizontal to do something. And when we lose the vertical, we lose our meaning behind what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And so when you go to work and you put on that mask and you hide who you really are, your work begins to mean less and less to you at your essence, which means you burn out really quickly. It means the stress gets high. It means you have less and less relationship, personal relationship to your job. And because of all those things, the organization is really losing out, and you are really losing out. So in a sense, we are creating lose-lose situations instead of win-win situations.
Exactly. You pretty much describe the path that I took before, and that's why I really need to make a big shift and change, you know, and searching for the new ways of being, and therefore new ways of doing things.
It's fantastic. I'm so thrilled that you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and feel what I had to feel before.
yes. Well, it sparked you. You listened to it. You realized that something needed to change, and so you're following through with that. And that outer change that's happening now in your life is happening because there was an inner transformation.
Yeah, and the change has to happen when I have this feeling that it's enough, you know. And then it's like I jump from the cliff and just discover that, wow, the ocean is really huge and interesting.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. So in the organizational context, I guess it depends on one person starts with it, and therefore several people, you know, buy in the idea, and therefore slowly by slowly the whole working places and the whole team then would be able to change, right?
Yes. And it really, really helps if this can come from the top down. Because if the top of the organization is not in line with this, then you're not getting the support coming down from the top to help this happen in the organization. So it's really important that the top leadership team is coming into alignment with this new way of being and this way of thinking, in order to then bring the whole company along quickly. If you have a team that is functioning in this way, they can do incredible work within the team, but the team may in time start to feel like they're not supported by the organization.
Exactly, yeah. That's why I wanted to figure out how does this whole change would take place.
Yes. It's a culture. What we're talking about is a cultural change. It's not, again, it's not a change in the method or the process, at least to start with. It's a cultural change, which in time will lead to changes in how you do things, in method, in process. But those changes happen as a result, again, of who you have become as a culture in the organization.
Exactly, yep.
Mm-hmm. We tend to think the culture is something that's created as an afterthought. You know, we focus on this is what we need to get done. And we put all the energy on what needs to get done. And we don't think about what's the impact of that on the people and on the culture. And then later we realize the culture is really messed up. And then we just try to fix it. Well, we have to turn that around completely and recognize that the culture is what must be built and with clear intention and then reinforced so that you can then accomplish incredible things.
Exactly, yep. Mm-hmm. And since you mentioned about intention, and this is the word which I found fascinating and also puzzled about this word, intention. Would you please explain a bit for me?
Well, if we say that everything is energy, it's a primary law, a fundamental law of quantum physics and also the ancient wisdom traditions, everything is energy. And therefore, your thoughts are energy. Your intention is energy. And the principle of attraction states like attracts like. And so it simply means that things of similar vibrational frequency will be attracted to one another. When you set a very clear intention and step into full alignment with that intention, in effect, you are broadcasting a very strong signal. And so your energy changes, the energy around you changes, which begins to impact the people around you. And again, it's that ripple effect that the energy that's coming out from you or coming out from your team or organization is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Alignment of energy is the key to accomplishing anything. And I think about that as a radio signal. You know, on old-fashioned radios, you turned the knob very slowly to tune in to the exact frequency for the radio station. And in effect, that's kind of what we're doing here. When everything is in alignment, you broadcast a very strong signal that is very easy to find on the radio dial. But if you if things are not in alignment, and if there's confusion, if there is conflict, you're broadcasting a signal that's very staticky. And therefore, no matter how much you turn that dial, you just can't quite seem to call that station in very clearly. Well, it's the same with us when we are in conflict inside, when we are living in a confusing energy, when things are not aligned, then the rest of the world kind of has a hard time finding us, you know? The rest of the world can't quite tune in to who we are. So we got to broadcast a very strong signal. Intention is the first step in that, being very clear about what it is that you're feeling called to accomplish. And I say called to accomplish as opposed to just what do you want to do, because it is the more we can recognize that the world is energy in motion and there is always the next emerging potential. We work in the coach training with the potential-based approach, recognizing that part of our job is to always be asking, so what wants to happen here? What's the next emerging potential? I then partner with that energy, and what that means simply is that I align myself completely with that energy. I step into the vibrational frequency of that potential and then help steward it on into our three-dimensional world, into this reality. Mm-hmm. And so intention is the first step of that, the beginning of that alignment of energy and then continuing to reinforce it.
So what would the statement like?
It can be a statement as simple as, I intend to launch this new product, or my intention is to increase my income, or my intention is that I need to, my intention is to shift this relationship or heal this relationship. The intention can be whatever it is that you feel like is what's wanting to happen next. The clue is that you are not just saying, what do I want, but asking what wants to happen, and then beginning to work with that energy to steward it on into place.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we got this starting point, and then we start to check whether it's aligned with heart, with soul, with feelings and all that, right? And then the whole process probably will start.
Yes, yes. You know, we talk in the coach training about three intelligences within us, that the ancient wisdom traditions spoke about these intelligences, and it's, in a sense, what you just mentioned. It's the intellect and the emotion and then the heart, or your truth. All three of those intelligences have different sets of information to give to us. You may be thinking and feeling in different ways in each of those parts of yourself about whatever it is that you're doing. Well, those three have to come into alignment in order for you to have your greatest success in reaching your goal.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Thank you for solving this puzzle for me about intention. I know that it has a lot of power, but every time when I try to set out my intention, I would just a bit hesitated, thinking, how can I make the statement?
Yes. Well, an intention is, especially when you get into a group or a team, an organization, this is, again, an important part or a job of the transformational leader. The team may think that they are all in agreement on the intention for a project. And then you start to talk about it and realize everybody has a little different idea about that. So it's this intention piece is really important to come into alignment, into agreement with one another when you're working in an organization, to make sure that everybody is seeing this intention in the same way, and that everybody understands who they must be and who we must be as a team in order for that to happen. If we take intention a little bit further, it's about dropping down underneath the intention then to say, so what's really wanting to happen through this? If my intention is to create a new product, well, what is it that's wanting to happen through that product? In other words, our visions or our goals in the bigger picture, they are simply vehicles through which something else can happen. So a bigger purpose, a bigger reason for being. So perhaps I realize that, yes, I say I want to launch this new product. Well, what's really wanting to happen through that product? What's the potential there? And then I may realize, oh, wow, through this product, people are going to find a different way or in a different perspective to, in my case, products are usually books or audio programs, so that let's say through this book, a person is going to learn more about intention. They're going to learn more about energy. They're going to understand in a much better way how energy works. And then I may drop down under that to say, so what's the even bigger potential here? The even bigger potential is that the world can start to operate in a different way because people are understanding energy in motion. Ah, well, now my intention is driven by something even more powerful. And I'm going to pay attention to that bigger wave of energy of that actually my product that I'm going to launch is really about helping the world understand how life works as energy, as an example. So intention has different layers, and the more we can get in touch with that energy behind the intention, what is the potential that's really driving that intention, the more powerful the intention will be, and the more efficiently and quickly you're going to manifest that.
So it's worthwhile in the organizational type of work, really, to align the intention of everybody to see whether people have the same intentions, more or less.
Yeah, it's not only worthwhile, it's pretty critical that it happens. Uh-huh. We see it in teams all the time. where organizations get really far down the road on a project and then suddenly realize people are not in agreement on what this is. So now they've spent millions of dollars. They've spent several months of time, sometimes even years of time, only to find out we're not all in agreement about this.
Yeah, and currently it seems that most teams or companies probably work on the goal, at the goal level, right? Setting up the goal and then starting from there and then all the strategies and action plans and all that. So you were saying that actually if we can go steps higher to go to this intention stage, actually probably we are able to find a bigger picture.
Absolutely. And the bigger picture we can operate from and the bigger wave of energy we can ride, the more there is to support this project.
Mm-hmm. Great. I like it. And you have a book about intuitive living, yeah? And then you also talk about intuitive mind. Would you please explain to us what that is and why is it important?
Well, the intuitive mind is the larger mind. It's our full mind. It's the heart intelligence as well. You know, in the Institute of Heart Math, in their research, they've discovered that the electromagnetic field of the heart is 5,000 times greater than the electromagnetic field of the brain. And we are taught to operate primarily from the brain and from the intellect, but in doing so, we're operating from just one very small part of our mind, of our real intelligence. So the intuitive mind is that much larger mind that is tapping into the quantum field, tapping into the greater consciousness all the time. In fact, I wouldn't even say it's tapping into, I would say it is one with, because the intuitive mind is non-local. It exists everywhere at the same time. Non-local is a quantum physics term that just means something exists in all of space and time at the same time. And so when we tap into the intuitive mind and live from that place, that is intuitive living. In a simple way, I define intuitive living as living in the constant awareness of the interactive presence, spirit or consciousness, and your soul. It's living in an awareness that you can be constantly having a dialogue with the greater consciousness, with the quantum field, with your soul. Life, again, it's all about relationship. It's all about communication. It's all about flows of energy. And so how are you entering into those flows of energy? Intuitive living is being aware on such an expanded level of everything that's going on within you and around you.
Beautiful.
So yeah, that was my first book, actually, Intuitive Living.
Yeah. And how do you cultivate that?
You cultivate that by being aware and practicing awareness, practicing your ability to observe. For instance, to look at something sitting there in the room with you, to look at a table or look at an object on the table and imagine it as vibrating energy. Begin to recognize that it's just energy in motion as you are energy in motion. There's a whole lot of different exercises that I introduce to people in working with energy in that kind of way. It's also you develop your intuition again by paying attention to your feelings. Your feelings come out of your intuitive mind. They are helping you to know what your intuition is telling you. Mm-hmm. So paying attention to your feelings and, again, listening, asking questions, being curious, as we talked about before, that's also ways to tap into your intuition. Paying attention to what's happening in your body, because your whole body is a part of that intuitive mind. To drop down into your lower body, into your gut, and say, what do I feel down here? What do I feel in my heart? When you have a pain in a particular place in your body, go straight to that pain and to that place in your body and ask it what it needs to tell you. All these are ways to start tapping into your intuition and then refining that. There are lots more skills and tools really in all of the books that I write. They're all full of tools and exercises, and it's all so much an intuitive approach to living that any exercise you do in any of my books is going to help you tap further into the intuitive mind, because they're all based on the intuitive mind.
And another question is about this point of stillness, because every time when we start a class, we usually start with meditation. And I know you have a strong practice, daily practice on meditation. How did you see this type of going to the center and going to this still place is important in the organizational context and also for the person?
You know, it's really about getting to essence. And the more we can operate from essence, operate from our essence and relate to everything else at its essence, then we cut through all of the stuff that's on the surface. We cut through the extraneous stuff and get to what's really important. And so in the point of stillness exercise or in meditation period, we're just dropping down to get right to the essence. And the quicker we can get to essence and operate from the center and from a place of stillness deep within, we can be fully engaged in our world on the outside and incredibly active. But the more that is sourced in a place of deep stillness and centering and connection to the all deep within us, the more effective we will be in the world.
It seems to me that most executives, when they make big decisions, is it somewhere, someplace that they should operate from, huh?
Well, absolutely. And when you look at some of the people who are the most successful, and by successful, I don't mean just how much money they've made, but successful in the big picture of who they are and the impact that they've made in the world for a greater good, they all have some way reflection, whether that's may or may not be a formal meditation practice, but some way that they have for themselves, reflecting of being quiet, being still, getting an answer and trusting that answer. That's really critically important for us all to develop in whatever way. People always ask me what form of meditation I recommend, and I say whatever works. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you have some period of time each day that is just for you, for reflection and introspection and formal meditation, if that's what feels right to you. But maybe you're going to take a walk on the beach or take a walk in the forest, or maybe it's sitting practice, or maybe it's doing yoga. But it's whatever way that is you getting really still and quiet inside. And then listening to that stillness.
So through all the practices, then we are able to go to our essence and then finding that centering and kind of empty space yet is the most precious and valuable assets of everyone.
Yes, and it's important to understand that the point of the meditation or reflection is not just that you're doing meditation or reflection. It's that you find that anchoring spot inside so that you are living from that spot all day long. Really, the meditation or reflection is just your check-in time each day. It's just the anchoring time to make sure that the anchor is really in place so that then you can go about your day doing everything that you do still connected to that still center.
Exactly. Slowly, I just discovered that for people who practice longer period of time on meditation, for example, they just seem to be calmer. And the way they operate and or giving feedback are more from this neutral place.
Yes, absolutely.
And I guess that's the quality out of their daily practice.
Yes, yes.
That's really inspirational.
Yeah, yeah. It's a wonderful thing for me in that way. So thank you so much for this opportunity to talk with you today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ime.
Thank you very much for your listening. This is awarenesselevation.com. AwareNessElevation. Please stay connected. On this page, you see the orange button said special. Click on it and you will find his website with more information.